Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to Wigram Baptist Church to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with prayer. We had 25 in Sunday school this morning, so we'd like to invite you to Sunday school. Have classes for everyone, and please encourage you, if you can, to come study God's Word with us at Sunday school at 9:45 each Sunday. Deacons meeting today at 5 p.m. If that changes, Brother Tim will let us know, deacons, okay? It may change, but he'll let us know on that. So if you don't hear from him, we'll meet at 5 o'clock today here at the church. Don't forget, Wednesday, June the 5th, 6:30 p.m., is our fellowship meal and conference. And it is covered dish, so please come and fellowship with us and have a good meal at 6:30. And then afterwards, we'll move into the sanctuary and we'll have our prayer time and a message in our church conference. Don't forget the offering for Mission Dignity. We've taken up, started on the 19th. We'll go through June 16th, I believe, which is Father's Day on that. Just designate your check, or if it's cash, put it in an envelope and just put Mission Dignity on it, and it'll get to the appropriate place. Do not forget VBS June the 17th through the 21st. That is a Monday through Friday. It's getting here. Sissy, do we still need kindergarten?
No.
Okay, amen. Prayer has been answered. So we have classes from pre-K through 18 years.
As old as you
want to
be.
As old as you want to be. Hey, amen. Thank you. But they are still, if you're still interested in helping with VBS, just let Cassie or Katie know. I know that we still can use help. We can use helpers, and extra set of eyes, that's a good thing, y'all. Even if it's just an extra set of eyes, that's a good thing. And so if you want to help with that, we'd love for you to do that. Standing in the Gap Men's Supper is June the 16th at 7 p.m. Men, young men, boys, don't forget that. We still need to restock the food pantry. Please help by donating non-perishable items. I saw a big old bag of cookies in there this morning. I didn't, but I thought about it.
You know,
I might. But we appreciate all that, all those items, y'all. So thank you for supporting that. Do not forget to ask the preacher, what question would you like to ask? Write out your question the best you can using topic, verse, doctrine. Not a must, but write your name just in case the pastor needs clarification. And the box is in the, as you go out the front there, you can just put it in that box there, and Brother Tim will take care of that. Any other announcements? Good. As we move to our prayer request, Brother Tim will give us an update on Amy, I'm sure. I'm going to let you do that. But continue to remember Amy, and continue to remember Brother Tim. Now, I'm not going to throw you under the bus. Yeah, I am. This is, no. Pray for Amy, pray for Brother Tim, too. I've been around him long enough now, I know he's an excellent pastor, he's an excellent preacher, but I'm still not convinced how good a nurse he is. That's still up in the air, so we're going to have to ask Amy when she comes back to see how good a nurse he is. But be in prayer for them. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here today, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to gather and worship you today, Lord. And Lord, I know that Tim and Amy have had a busy week this week, Lord, and Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to be with them, Lord. Just watch over them and guide them as she recovers from her surgery, Lord. I know that, Lord, they have therapy that will have to be gone through and all, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that That'll go well, Lord. But Lord, I just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he takes care of Amy and takes care of his family and all, Lord, that he is here today, Lord, to proclaim your word and worship you today, Lord. And I just want to lift him up to you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, as a church family, Lord, that we will support him and love him and his family, Lord, and that one way that we can do it today, Lord, is to be attentive, Lord, to listen to God's word, Lord, and not only listen, but obey it, Lord. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Well, all right, let's all sing together Amazing Grace. And when we sing Amazing Grace, we have to sing all the verses. So if you can, please stand. That's hymn 330, Amazing Grace.
Thank you. our session, but I see some money coming today, give you a music in your room. Special prayer for Richard and his wife, Miss Amy, and special prayer for my niece and my sister and their family, because I know you got everything under control and it's in your hands. Father, just be with you, everyone else, and guide us and lead us. And be with us each and every day, and maybe just take Brother Tim's message and we just take it on Sunday's walls and just try to lift up everyone part of in your name. I know we take up this hall and we glorify your name and do your will. Most heavenly Father's name, I pray. Amen.
Two times yesterday, and I asked her this morning before I came to church, I said, "You want me to help you do it again?" And she said, "No." That's okay. So anyhow, but she is doing good, just really, really sore from experience and talking to other people. Usually the third day is the worst, and so tomorrow we're looking for a better day, and hopefully she is on the mend and be able to walk around again. So that would be a blessing. If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 John chapter 5, as we look at this passage, we, here again, I know I've said this on many occasions, but as you read the Word of God, you have to understand that when the time it was written, there was not punctuation marks. There were not verse numbers. There were not chapter numbers. It was a scroll, and it was just written on, and it flowed from one to the next. And so man has came in and put numbers and broke up and put punctuations, and sometimes that's a good thing because it helps us find our place when the preacher gets up and says, turn to 1 John chapter 5. But on the other hand, sometimes it breaks up a thought mid-sentence. And so we have to understand once again that whether it was Greek, Aramaic, Hebrew, when those were written, they were written in a continuous manner. And so as we look into chapter 5, we have to realize that we have to go back to chapter 4 to pick up the context. We're not going to go back and read in chapter 4, but I do want to kind of set the stage this morning. As I've talked about over and over again, the love of God and love for others is one of the major themes throughout the book of 1 John. It is, other than John wanting us to know for certain that we have salvation. The love is probably the next biggest thing throughout this letter. Well, as we think about it, and we talked about this last week, and I'm just going to give you a quick rundown before we get into 1 John chapter 5 in the first 5 verses. But last week we talked about that we know God is love. Everyone who loves is born of God. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to be the payment for our sin. He went on to say we love God because God first loved us. Because God loves us, we must also love who?
Say it right.
One another. So we have to do that. Because God loved us, we also love him, but we also love his son, Jesus Christ. And because God loves us and we love him, we should keep his what?
Commandments.
Right? That's kind of what we looked at last week in chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. And then last week in chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, this is not up there, but we realize in verse 19, John said, because he first loved us, we can love him. We love God when we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember, I said it was two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. You can't claim to love God and hate somebody. I hear this all the time, and it really causes me to draw back. Because I often hear people say who used to be in church, well, I love God, I love Jesus, I love my church, but I can't stand so-and-so. Anybody heard those words? I don't want to be in a room with them. I don't want to be anywhere around. They go to Walmart. They don't have a problem going to Walmart if they're in the same store. They don't, you know. My question is two things. If your faith won't get you into church, will it get you into heaven? And if you can't stand your brothers and sisters in Christ here on earth, you might not be in heaven. Okay? Because John here over and over again says how, if someone says he loves God but hates his brother, how does the love of God abide in him? In other words, that's a rhetorical question. It cannot be so. We can't claim to be of God and hate people. Doesn't matter what they've done to us. It doesn't matter what color, where they're from, or anything else. What matters is that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for this old, nasty, filthy sinner. That's what he did. He didn't judge me by my skin color. He didn't judge me by what my bank account has. He didn't judge me based on my intellect. Okay? He didn't judge me on any. As a matter of fact, my Bible says God had chosen me in him before the world was created. So long before God even poured the foundations of this earth and the cosmos and everything else that he has created, I was already on his heart and mind. So were you. Imagine that. A God who loves you regardless of what you've done in your past. But he's also God who loves you no matter what sins you're going to commit in the future. Isn't that great today? That doesn't give us a license to go out and sin, but it does give us assurance that we have victory in Christ Jesus. Well, we get to chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Let's read it. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. Remember what I said last week? What is Christ? Another name for Christ? Messiah, right? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is born of God. And everyone who loves him, Jesus, whom begotten also loves him who is begotten of him. In other words, you have God the Father and God the Son. The best way I can describe that is for us to look back at John 3:16, and it's not on our screen. But we know, for God so loved the world that he gave his what?
Only
begotten, right? Begotten Son. So now we realize that God is the one who begot, and the begotten is Jesus. So just putting that in. By this we know, okay? And every time you see those words, by this we know, we realize that is a test we can give ourselves. By this we know that we love the children of who?
God.
Is that just the ones you like?
No.
Just the ones he's always done you right?
No.
It's everybody. That we love the children of God when we love God and keep his what?
Commandments.
For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. And what is the next two words? Our faith. Verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we have read these verses this morning, God, I pray that you, Lord, just guard and guide my heart, Lord, that we would see you and all that you want to speak to us about today. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity and pray, God, you just use me in a way, Lord, that you'll glorify. Lord, just speak to our hearts today. Lord, help us to examine ourselves. Lord, help us to see, Lord, if you're in us and if we are in you. Lord, have your way. Lord, as only you can in this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we realize here that when we get to chapter 5, we see, I believe, what is three qualifications of being a child of God, okay? And these are real short and simple. Number one is that we have to believe that Jesus is whose son? God's son. Number one, if you don't believe Jesus was a divine entity that was there before God created the heavens and the earth and the moon and the sun and everything else, you can't be saved. If you do not believe that Jesus is God's son, there's no hope for you. Plain and simple. If you do not believe, because even in Genesis, when God was creating everything, he said, let us do what? Let us create man in whose image? And it says our. It is plural. It is not meaning that there's two different gods. God is not separate from Jesus or separate from the Holy Spirit. We talked about the Sunday school, amen. But all three of those are one, and each one glorifies other. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and glorifies God the Father. Jesus' will is to do God's will. He is to glorify his Father. It is submission, but they are all three acting together. Matter of fact, well, I'm going to go off on a rabbit trail here. 1 John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The gospel and the letter we're studying here today, both of them talks about in the beginning, and that there was nothing created that was created without Jesus. So Jesus was there in the beginning. He didn't just all of a sudden come onto the scene when he came from the womb of Mary. He's already been, okay? Now, there are some denominations that would tell you that Jesus didn't become God's son until he was baptized. That's hogwash, okay? Just to put it mildly. That's not so. He's always been the Son of God. Second qualification is that if we love God, we will also love his Son, Jesus. Okay? That's not a far stretch. If I say that I love God, I have to in turn say that I love his son. Let me put it to you this way. How would you feel if I came up to you and I said, you know, I really love you, but I just hate your kids.
Yeah, that's right.
You see what I'm saying? That is far-fetched, but that is sometimes the way people treat Jesus. Now, I just love God, but I can't stand your son. Better yet, think about it this way. Because the third qualification is that we obey. This is what we don't like. If I say that I love God and I say that I love his son, but then I, as we talked about last week, we talked about not only having God's commandments, but we are to keep them or to obey them. If I say, oh man, God, I really love you, and I really love Jesus, and I really love all that he did for me on the cross, but I ain't doing anything you ask me to do. What is that really saying about my love for God? Because even in the marriage situation, or even in a friendship situation, if your friend, if you really love your friend and they ask you to do something, aren't you going to bend over backwards to do it for them? And many times we're going to do something for them without them even asking, just because we know they have a need. And why don't we do that same practice with God and say, God, I know what you want me to do, and I love you, and I love your son, and I'm trying to do those. But let's not do it just because he said to do it, but do it because we love him and we desire to please him. We show our love for each other by the things we do, and we show our love to God by the things that we do for one another. Verse 3 here of 1 John chapter 5 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You see, greatest command. Deuteronomy chapter 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We are to do that. Jesus echoed that same passage in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all... And he said, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, what Jesus is saying here, if you don't get these two right, you've missed the whole show. You've missed the whole plan. Love God and love people. Love God, love people. If we're not showing people that we love them, how does the love of God abide in us? Here again, John chapter 14, verse 21 here. We covered this last week. Jesus said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who, what? Loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by God the Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The more we love others, the more Jesus is going to show his love to us, if he can do that. Because that's what the word manifest means, right? It means to make known, to make light, to understand, to give more understanding to. So the more we love God, the more we love Jesus, the more he's going to show his love to you and I. You say, well, Brother Tim, I just think his commandments are too much. You know, when we get saved, Jesus changes us. And I would have quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17 of Powhatan. But what we used to be is done away with, and now we are becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. He is working in us and through us to accomplish His will, not just to do His will, but to want to do His will. But oftentimes we feel like His commandments are too much. But the second part of verse 3 tells us His commandments are not burdensome. So we have to ask ourselves, why are His commandments not burdensome? Well, I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says, "Come to me," listen here carefully, "come to me, all you who labor," that means we're all supposed to be working, right? Right? "Heavy laden, I'll give you what?
Rest.
Take my yoke." What does a yoke do? It hooks you to another animal, right? Because you get a hard-headed, stubborn cow and put it with another hard-headed, stubborn cow, and they're going to tear up the whole field. But you yoke them together, and that means when one pulls, the other's got to pull, or he's going to get dragged, right? Jesus saying, listen, but it also makes, when you put two cows, two oxen together to plow a field, it makes it a whole lot easier. Right? This one says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is
light."
You see, all those desires, all those wishes, all those things that we used to not want to do because it went against our human nature, when Jesus comes into our heart, He changes our heart, He changes our soul, He changes our thoughts, He changes our desires, our wishes, and everything else. And he makes it so that when we serve Him, there is joy in doing what He wants us to do. It is not a burden, because He is the one who is coming alongside us with His yoke to make our job easier. He's wanting us to cast our cares upon Him. I mentioned this a minute ago, 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If we are a new creation in Christ, and we are if we are saved, Jesus has placed His Spirit, His seed, as 1 John calls it, His seed within us to give us, to teach us, to convict us, all those things. He has given us that Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, so that we have the power to do what God wants us to do. Remember Sunday school lesson, everybody that was there this morning? "And you shall receive" what? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you?
Power.
That same power is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. So if you say, "I don't have the strength to do it," either you're not saved or you're lying. Because if you're saved and the Holy Spirit lives in you, He is giving you the power to do what God has commanded you to do. So I just can't go across the street. I don't know what to say. That's because you're relying on yourself, not the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be bold about our faith. Verse 4. It says, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world." I love that, because we sang those songs this morning, and I picked those out this morning, so if you didn't know them, that's okay. We sang "Faith is Victory." We sang "Amazing Grace," and how "Amazing Grace" has just overwhelmed us, and how we have victory in Jesus because of who we used to be and who He has created us to be now that we are in Him. It is all about God, and it's all on Him, but it is by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone that gives us victory. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Look at the verse 4 there. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what is the world that John is talking about? Well, if we go back to 1 John chapter 2, and let's look at these verses here. Did I put them up there? Yeah, here they are. He says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for whose sake? His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who was from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome. See that word, overcome? Who did He overcome? The wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you. And you have overcome who? The wicked one. You see, when we look at this, we realize that the world is described in the Bible as the lust of the flesh. That speaks of passion. It speaks of the lust of the eyes, means possession. Means the pride of life, which is another word for positions. Those are the three things that usually trip all of us up. Amen? Because we're all human, right? We're all maybe hopefully saved, but at the same time, we're still in our flesh. And so Paul talks about this. John talks about it. The lust of the flesh. That means things I desire to fulfill my selfish desires. Lust of the eyes, things that I want, things that are probably going to destroy me and you, right? But also we have a position, probably the pride of life. Sometimes we think we're bigger than we really are. Sometimes we think we are more capable than we really are. But listen. All those three things are not of the Father. They are of the wicked one. But John tells us here in our passage in 1 John chapter 5 that we are overcomers. If the Spirit of God lives in us, why would John call us overcomers? Well, I think it's because if we are in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have been changed. But how do we get there? How do we get to where John would call us overcomers? Can I say this? It is by faith. It is by faith and faith alone. It is by faith because there in verse 4, it tells us, back at verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God. We keep His commandments, and His commands are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the what? The victory, our faith. My victory is not based on Tim. It's not based on you. It's not based on whoever the mayor of Wigan is. It's not based on whoever the governor of Georgia is. It's definitely not based on who's in the White House. My victory is based on who I place my faith in. Amen? Because if I put my faith in any one of you, you're going to let me down. And if you put your faith in me somehow, somewhere along the line, I'm probably going to let you down. I may not intend to, but somehow, some way, if you look hard enough at me, you're going to see some wrinkles and some scars. Amen? My faith in Christ, and I believe I can't have the faith to even believe in Him, to have the faith unless He gives me the faith to have faith in Him. Does Does that make sense? I don't know if I can say it again. He gives me the faith to have faith in him. He calls us overcomers. How can we be overcomers? Well, our victory is by faith. Listen to what Jesus says in John 16:33. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," right? Not in myself, not in you, not in everything else that's happening. "In me you may have" what? "Peace. In this world, in the world, you will have" — so much for the prosperity preacher, right? That verse right there blows them out of the water. Don't even turn them on. "Be of good cheer." Why? Jesus says he has overcome the world. We have victory in Jesus because Jesus is the one who overcome the world. He overcome Satan. He overcome death. He overcome sin. He overcome all of it. And because our faith and trust in him, we too can have victory over the things of the world. We can be overcomers. If you don't believe me, I'm going to give you a few verses to back it up. Romans 8:37-39 says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors." Does that sound like somebody who's defeated? If you're a conqueror, come on, y'all help me out. Y'all help me preach. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors" through who? "Through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us" what?
"Victory."
The victory. Through who? It's not mine. I didn't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You can't do it. Can't do anything about it. It's faith. We have victory through faith in Christ and Christ alone. 1 John 4:4. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith in Christ and Christ alone is what overcomes the world, because we are believing in him. Our faith in him and what he has accomplished, what he has done, joins me together with him. Ephesians 2:8-10, "For by grace you've been saved through" what?
Faith.
"That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus" to do what? Sit on our butts?
No.
"For good works." It's hard to love God and love others when you're sitting down. Amen? I got a question for you. If we have victory in Jesus, didn't y'all all sing it a while ago? Did you mean it?
Yeah.
Why do so many of us walk around being defeated all the time? Walk around looking like we lost our purpose. Where'd it go? I don't have any victory in life. Look at this one storm after another come along, and we think we have no hope. And here we got Jesus Christ on our side. He's already defeated everything that needed to be defeated. He has overcome the world. And my Bible says, "Greater is he who is in me than he who is in" what? "The world." We act so defeated sometimes. We are actually victors in Christ, but oftentimes we act like victims. I want to leave you with this thought this morning. and it's all bunch of thoughts really because they're all scriptures. I want us to see who we are in Christ. Okay? So if you feel like you're down, you're defeated, you just can't seem to get ahead, stop thinking like a victim and start thinking like a victor. Amen? Look at these verses. These are all from Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Listen carefully because I'm going to repeat the word overcome or overcome several times. So when we get to that overcome, I want you to focus on those words. It says, he who, Revelation 2, 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2, verse 11 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 2, 17 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Revelation 2:26 says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Revelation 3:5 says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:12 says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. You see, it's all from perspective, isn't it? If all we do is walk around with our heads hanging low and think of how this world has overcome us, because if you watch the news, and can I get amen? If you watch the news, you're going to be walking around with your head down because you think, what in the world can get worse than this? Can I tell you, Jesus has already overcome all that. He knows, he knows the power. He is the power to change our life. He's the power to change our state. He's the power to change our nation. He's the power to change the whole world. But do we believe it? Do we live like it? How are we showing that to the world when we're all fretting? I just don't know what's going to happen with this election now. Trump's going to go to prison. Trump ain't the answer to begin with. Amen? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And when we get on our face and our knees before him and start treating him like he's the ruler of the universe, maybe he'll turn our country around. Until then, we're just trying to be overcome by the world. Let me ask you this. If you're not believing in the name of Jesus Christ, then you have no victory in your life. If you're not believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and loving him and loving his Father, then you can't love your wife, your children, your nobody. You can't love them as you should because you have not experienced true love of God. There's no way you can earn your salvation. There's no one else who can save you. Acts chapter 4 tells us in verse 12, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It is Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. Have you placed your faith and trust in him? Have you overcome sin by trusting in Christ, what Christ has done for you? In Romans 10, this is what Paul wrote. I think this is probably one passage of scripture that is clearest on how to trust in Christ. I know we go through the Romans road, but for simplicity this morning, Paul said this: if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
Saved from what? Saved from yourself, from sin, from destruction. Amen. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
You say, well, Brother Tim, I've never trusted Christ. Well, when we start singing, I want you to be the first one down. So, Brother Tim, I need to know. I need to know. I can't save you, but I can do my best to lead you to who can through Jesus. But maybe some of us would be bold enough to say and really admit it that we've been struggling in our faith, we've been struggling in our life, we've been believing the lies of the devil, and we're down and we're defeated. And maybe this morning we just need to say, Lord, forgive me for doubting you. Lord, you know, even David said this. He says, return to me the joy of your salvation. Sometimes we lose our joy because we've got sin in our lives that's blocking that joy out. Maybe we need to throw that off today. Maybe we need to realize that we are overcomers in Christ and quit living like the world has overcome us. We are victors in Christ. And if you've never experienced that victory, I challenge you today. Jesus loves you. He's got his arms open wide, wanting you to come to him. But some of us are just down. And maybe today we need to just turn that over to Jesus, whatever it is. He has given us the victory through him. But who are you believing? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that you have spoken to hearts. Lord, I pray that you challenge us. Lord, if there's one here who's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, help us not to put it off any longer. Lord, help us to find victory in you. But Lord, there's some here today who need to start living like they had victory in their life. This world's got them beat down. Satan's attacking them. People are attacking them. And though we realize it's not the people doing it, it's those principles of power. Lord, those evil forces that are working in places we can't even see as humans. Lord, they've got us down. Lord, we need to look to you just as the Israelites needed to look to the serpent that was hoisted up on the cross, a bronze cross. Lord, when the people believed and turned to the cross, they were healed. Lord, I pray that we would return our eyes back to you. Lord, so that we may experience the healing power of knowing you. Lord, whatever it is you need to do in our hearts and lives today, Lord, I pray that we would glorify you by not just having your commands, but being obedient to them. Lord, I ask you to have your way. I ask it in Jesus' name.